Hello, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here to address your question or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls now at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen or take part. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we introduced 7 relationship builders. If we're going to have good, solid, healthy relationships, we need to see some of the things that God pours into us through His Spirit being lived out in these relationships. And we listed those: patience, kindness, truth, protection, safety, trust, hope, perseverance. Those are the things that build positive, healthy relationships. And so today we want to take a more of a detailed look at patience. And I think patience, as far as relationships are concerned, is the number one relationship builder. We need to have that more than anything. And we can, because God has been patient with us. That's the good news. I mean, when you think about your life before you knew Christ, and all the things that you did and all the things that you were engaged in and all the rebellion that just characterized who you were and what you were, then you realize, man, if God was going to reach out to me, He had to have some patience. And when we realize that, then we can pass that patience on to others. And so I think it's a vitally important relationship builder that we need to tap into through faith in Jesus Christ. I love what Peter wrote about that. He says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day, and the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Well, what does God's patience mean in our lives? Well, at some point it meant salvation. That's good news, isn't it? And I think if we can be patient with others, we can see God working good things in those relationships as well. Andrew, what do you think about patience, and how have you seen patience as a positive relationship builder in your life?
Well, yeah, I think humans, we're tempted to cut people off. I mean, we have a standard for how people should act, where they should be at in their lives. We have these sort of unspoken expectations of the people around us, and when they don't meet those expectations, we can go into withdrawal, we can go into the silent treatment, we can cut people off, we can react in all kinds of fleshy ways, because we set up these unspoken or sometimes very spoken expectations of people, and then they fall short. So patience is a huge thing. I think it really comes about as we make some decisions, and, you know, we're trusting Christ to be our patience, but He's leading us in a very specific way. I mean, I find in my life that I'm, you know, designed to forgive people and release them from what I think they owe me. I've got a long list, you know, maybe mentally we get long lists of what people owe us or how we should be treated better or more properly, and they fall short of that. So we have to release people, and that's what God did with us. I mean, you were just saying the forgiveness of God is pretty overwhelming. Talk about patience. And so then He turns to us and He says, hey, release other people 70 times 7 and then some. I mean, give them a big, letting them off the hook in a big way so that they're not working for your acceptance and working for your friendship. So, you know, patience is huge in friendships and relationships. And I'm reminded, you know, of Romans 5. It talks about how is patience worked in you. It says tribulation. Tribulation is actually how patience gets worked into us. So I'm looking back at the hard times, you know, the rough times in life, and I'm seeing where God taught me something about patience. And if it were smooth sailing all the time, I wouldn't have learned a thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think patience has to be tied to that promise that God has given us, that he's going to cause all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Sometimes we want to jump in and make things happen according to our timeline. But God operates on a different timeline, and if we will recognize that, then I think it will be easier for us to exercise patience in all relationships, and especially as we continually thank God for the patience that he exercises toward us, not only the patience that he exercised toward us in bringing us to salvation, but the patience that he exercised towards us each and every day of our lives. I mean, his patience wasn't a one-time deal. He's constantly pouring out his patience on us each and every day. That's an aspect of love. And that's why I think it's such an important relationship builder. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We would love to hear from you. If you are one of those folks that are praying, Lord, give me some patience and give it to me right now, I think today's broadcast is just for you. Call in. Let's talk about it. We would love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. And Andrew and Richard, we've got a wonderful conference coming up. I'm going to get it right in just a second. June 19th through the 21st, right here in Plano, Texas at the beautiful Hope Center. And Andrew, you're going to be one of the speakers. John Lynch is going to be joining us. And boy, the time is now to sign up. If you want to be a part of a spectacular event, an opportunity to come and really learn about the gospel message and how it's lived out in day-to-day life. Come and fellowship with like-minded believers, hear some great music, and just be encouraged and uplifted in your walk with Christ. This is a conference for you. All the information on how to sign up is at stand2014.com. That's stand2014.com. Go and register today. We want to see you here in Plano, Texas at the fabulous Hope Center, June 19th through the 21st.
Right now we have open lines. If you'd like to pose a question or pose a discussion topic for the broadcast today, Andrew Farley is here joining Bob Christopher and Richard Piper and me. 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call wherever you hear the broadcast in the U.S. or Canada, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew, Richard, I'm going to throw this question out. God is patient with us. In what ways is he patient with us as believers, as his children? How does he exercise that in our lives? How does he show us his patience?
Well, you look at the demonstration of his patience. I don't think we want to talk about this in a nebulous way. We don't want to just say, hey, everyone, God is patient, because, you know, my feelings might say God is impatient. My feelings might say God is frustrated. God is upset with me. God has turned his back on me. God is sick of me. He wishes I would perform better. And so when we just get out these God is statements, things need to get more specific. And so, you know, the book of Romans tells us that God demonstrated his love, and we've already been saying he demonstrated his patience in a very tangible way. The cross of Christ is saying, you know what, I'm willing to watch my son die. I'm willing to, just at the right time, apparently, Christ died. So that tells you God was very patient in bringing Christ. God was very patient in planning for the crucifixion of Christ. And so the benefit on this side of the cross is I've got a God who gives me no strings attached acceptance. You look at everybody out there listening, think about the hundreds, probably know more like the thousands or hundreds of thousands of times that you've committed sins. You've had harbored a critical thought. You've resented someone. You've been slow to patience with someone, you've been angry with someone, or you acted out in a sexual sin, or whatever it might be. And maybe you could count tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of those. Well, when you look at the cross, what you see is God's patience, because he said, I don't care how many times it is. If it's, you know, even if it's 70 times 7 for each sin, I have chosen to forgive you infinitely and eternally, and no matter what, I am modeling what I tell you to do. When I tell you to forgive 70 times 7, you got to remember I've already forgiven 70,000 times 7 million. It's infinite. And so he's modeling what he's asking us to pass on to other people. But the character of Jesus Christ, the character of God, is remarkably patient. And I think too many times we sell him short. We should be shouting from the rooftops, wow, this God is incredibly patient with me.
Yes. And it's interesting that that word is, it means long suffering. It's the opposite of flying off the handle, being quick to anger, quick to wrath. And that's what God is like, and he exercises that in our lives every single day. I mean, we don't always align every part of who we are with every part of who he is. Sometimes the things of this world kind of get in our way. They throw in all kinds of obstacles and hindrances, and we give in to those things. But instead of lashing out in anger against us, God is patient. He suffers long. Why? Because he has given us a promise that he's going to complete the work in us. So if we take a wrong turn to the left or a wrong turn to the right, he doesn't jump down our throats. He merely recalculates the path that he is going to take us on to deliver us to his end goal, and that's to conform us into the image of his son. That's how God works in our lives. He is incredibly patient with each and every one of us. And when we understand that and we abide in that, then we can see that patience flow into the lives of others. Well, let's go and talk with Sophie listening to us in New Rochelle, New York on WMCA. Hi, Sophie. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Yes, I'm listening to you and I'm like, oh, yeah, how long is suffering going to go away? If a suffering is being patient, well, I have my share. I think it's enough. because I'm out of work. I'm not working since last July. July 31st, 2013 was my last day of work. And since then, I go to an employment meeting. I go online looking for job. I go to interviews after interviews. Everything is no. Or sometimes you receive a letter, oh, we're going to go with other candidates. I'm sorry, we can't have you. Mm-hmm. And, well, I have bachelor degrees in political science, bachelor degrees in journalism. And I'm sitting home, and I'm a single mom, crying every like, when God going to bring me the light, saying, well, now it's your turn to have at least a little job. Even housekeeping, they will hire me. What is that for? I'm really like the patience, praying, kneeling, asking God to help me. And it's like, when that suffering going to end? When you know you have a 14-year-old little girl who looking up to you, you did whatever they said to do, going to school, go back to school, do everything. When that pain going to stop? Now my patience, I think, is to have a limit. It has to have a limit somewhere.
Yeah, you're losing hope there, Sophie, and that's a tough thing. Andrew, how do you answer somebody like that in a situation? It's a little bit different. The patience that we were talking about is the patience that we have one toward another. She's running low on patience as far as this situation is concerned. How can God infuse some hope in this dark circumstance she's going through?
Yeah, well, Sophie, you know, first of all, I want to say that I'm sorry that you are experiencing, I mean, it's been over almost a year now that you've been out of work since July of last year. I'm so sorry that it's taken so long and that you've worked so hard to try to find something. You know, you say that you're losing patience, you're losing hope. And I guess what I want to encourage you with is, number one, God, it's not something that God is doing to you. The people that are not giving you jobs, they have names, and their names are Larry and Lisa and Linda, they are people, they're humans. And it's not that God is not giving you a job. It's that in this world we will have trouble. So I know that we want God to jump in and fix things for us. And when he doesn't, we begin to be frustrated, angry, we lose hope. The second thing I want to say, you know, besides putting the God label in the wrong place sometimes, you know, we got to watch out for putting the God label on everything. But secondly, there is a hope, there is a patience that when you've lost your patience, there's another patience. When you've lost your hope, there is another hope. It's outside of your resources. I think you're going to find that if Christ Jesus lives in you and you're a believer in him, that even when you feel that your patience and your hope has been entirely exhausted, that Jesus remains faithful to you and he will help you through. But do not, by any stretch, give up. Do not go into a passive waiting for God. You know, remember that you are united with Christ, and it is perfectly wonderful for you to set out a fleece. So, for example, apply for 5 more jobs next week and 10 more jobs the next week. Be aggressive. Don't be afraid to be aggressive, because God is not...
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yes, and my word to you on that is keep it up. I mean, keep applying. Yeah. It is not going to be that someone knocks on your house and says, I miraculously heard you need a job, and here's one for you. It's going to be when you assert yourself in Christ and in dependency on him. But, you know, this idea that we go passive and wait for God, you know, I would encourage you, no, I'm united with Christ. As I move, he's in me. I'm in him. He's in me. It's a friendship. It's a partnership. It's a union. And you go with him into each application and you pray about it. Even when your hope feels like it's failing, I promise you that he has a hope that will carry you through.
Yes, that's a very nice saying. But listen to this. Mm-hmm. That's true. I'm going through all over this tribulation and hurt. But at the same time, he's taking care of me. Jesus is taking care of me. The reason I'm saying that, I do not have a job, but I have a place to sleep. I do not have a job, but I'm eating. I do not have a job, but I have a good health. How this is can be? Because he's loved me. Jesus loves me. And listen, my neighbor is my landlord. She knows I'm late for payment of the rent. But this is the same landlord who will cook her meal. When she finished to cook her meal, she's not a Christian, but she will bring the food upstairs for me and my daughter to share.
Well,
how
Sophie,
amazing is that, you see?
Sophie, that is amazing, and I think that can lead you to that attitude of thanksgiving. You know, I'm going into this job interview knowing that God has been taking care of me, has been meeting my every need in all kinds of different ways, and I know that he's going to meet my needs tomorrow, and if that's through a new job, I'm going to trust him for it. Let me do this, Sophie. We've got some things we want to send your way. Let me put you on hold, and we can get your information, and we can send you I want to send you a copy of Andrew's book, The Hurt and the Healer, and we'll put that in your hands, and we want to stay in touch, okay? You hang on.
And we have time on the clock. Couple of open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, guys, let's go up to Westchester, New York, and talk with Pete listening to us on WMCA. Hey Pete.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. I'd just like to say to that lady, you know, you have to have hope. My wife has stage 4 bone cancer. They call you up once in a while. But we never give up hope. We pray constantly. I always pray. And, you know, it's hope. And, you know, I mean, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, you know. So it's just you have to trust the Lord, you know. That's all. And, you know, like I said, pray for that Christian lady that, you know, that she'll get a job, and she will. Just be faithful and have hope.
During this whole discussion, you know, the passage that's been coming to my mind is Philippians 4:12. It says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And so even the Apostle Paul, who, you know, some people say, oh, my gosh, you know, Paul, he must have been one of God's favorites or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he went through hunger. He went through being in need. And in the midst of that, he says he learned a secret, and the secret was contentment, and the contentment was found in Jesus. So, you know, there's a prosperity gospel out there, and it says, hey, you're probably poor, you've got little, but you should have plenty. And then there's a legalist gospel out there that says, hey, you've got too much, you've got plenty, you should give it all up and only have little. But really, the true gospel doesn't tell you, hey, you better have plenty or you better have little. It says you better have Jesus. Jesus is the secret to contentment. I mean, whether you have little or plenty. So I appreciate your call, brother. You're right on. I mean, we don't want to lose hope, but our hope is in Jesus.
Jesus, right? And that's, you know, like I said, I was Catholic. I'm, you know, a biblical Christian now. And that was Philippians?
Yeah, Philippians 4,
Philippians 4. I'm going to have to read that over again. It's a great verse. And, you know, if it wasn't for Apostle Paul, the word wouldn't have been out as much as, you know he inspired, and his writings were, it's unbelievable, you know, what he did for Christianity, you know. Yeah. And like you say, trust in the Lord. Lady, I'll pray for her, and she will find a job.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for that. We appreciate you jumping on with us today.
And in your prayers, pray for my wife, Lisa.
Okay. Well, keep us posted on her, okay?
All right, guys.
Okay.
Thank you, Pete.
Let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Joel, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joel.
Hi, sir. Yeah, what comes to mind is Job, what he went through. He lost his family, his stock, his life, and what he went through, and he got everything doubled. So patience is a virtue, and it's a tragedy what's happening now with the economy, but Job, people ought to read, so let's see what he went through. And that's an inspiring thing. That's an act of God. That's just all I want to say.
Mm. Well, thank you, Joel, and I think Andrew and Richard and Bob, the theme today is, you know, we all need hope in life. And Jesus is the hope giver, and we can trust him, and we see how he reaches out to us and meets our needs in just all these little details of life. I was thinking about Sophie and, you know, the landlord bringing food over, and she's not a Christian, but somehow God impressing on her in such a way to reach out to Sophie and help meet a need there. That's God doing his work, you know, in this world. And he is truly the ultimate hope giver. And when we can turn to him and rest in him, we can power through these trials and tribulations that come our way.
You know, you can find footing, you know, solid footing in a broken world.
Yes, you can. And Andrew, I was thinking about the upcoming conference. A lot of what has been asked on the broadcast today is the reason we're doing this conference, isn't it?
Yeah, it's June 19 to 21. And I want people out there listening to realize this is not something we do every month. It's not something we do every 6 months. I mean, this is our big yearly event. It's right in Dallas in the Plano, Texas area. June 19 to 21. It's called the Stand Conference. The website is stand2014.com. That's stand2014.com. Go there. Consider registering today. Maybe you felt alone in some of your beliefs, or you just want to get encouraged with some truth. We're going to be talking about how to stand in this hope and stand in this patience and stand in the promises of our God. It's going to be a great time. Come join us for Stand 2014.
Yes, indeed. And I certainly echo Andrew's comments there. You know, this world that we live in is a mess, and it's hard to find solid footing. But there is a place, and that place is in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And this conference will help you find solid footing in his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his life. Come join us. the 19th through the 21st of June.
Again, for information and registration, visit the website stand2014.com. Again, coming up June 19th through the 21st here in the Dallas area, actually in Plano. All the information available online at stand2014.com. We hope you're going to be able to be with us. Also, remember that there are many resources available to you at our online store, and you can access it through store.basicgospel.net. Now for Bob and Richard and Andrew and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.